You're listening to Gaming Vision, Voices of Vision. Hey everybody, welcome to another fine edition of Gaming Vision Network podcast. I'm Robert Hubbs, and as always with me is...
me, Carl Castaneda. What's up everybody?
How's it going? It's been a long time since our last podcast. I believe, what was it, we had a New Year's version?
I think it was our top 6 of 06, top 7 of 07, I don't know, something like that.
Top 7 of 07 coming out or something like that. We don't seem to keep track of what we do either, but anyway, yeah, let's start things off. You know, recently I've just started, you know, doing this little thing called, you know, GVN tournaments.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I've run 2 so far. The first one was a debacle. I decided to not give up, and I ran a second one with a favorable outcome of 24 people.
Not bad.
Showing up for a Dead or Alive tournament. Trophies and cash prize were provided by me, of course.
How much did you put up?
I didn't put money into it. It's just the money that was put into it was the pot money for the signing up at the tournaments. There was a tag and a singles, and it was very good.
How much did the winner get?
It was the money was divided 70-20 and 10% amongst the top 3 placers, and everybody got, and the first top three placers in each tournament placed. By the way, I just want to say props to Mr. Rakuto for taking first in both tag and in singles. He did a heck of a job. Of course, I also want to give props out to everybody that flew in. I want to say thanks to Pist from flying in from Chicago, Vanessa of the PMS clan flying in from California, and joining her buddy Kasumi-chan, who is actually from around here where I am, and they were a tag team partner. They were kind of dangerous. But they didn't play so. Plays very well. Yeah. We actually had quite a few clan members actually show up for this tournament. I was surprised by that. There was this like big showing of a clan called Only On Point, and there's like I think 3 or 4 members there.
Cool.
Yeah. But that was great. It was a great tournament, and I'm looking forward to GVN, the Greater Philly Challenge 3, which is going to be a Tekken 5 tournament actually. And, yeah, I'm hoping this one will be decent, but I'm already getting some complaints from the Tekken community, because apparently $25 is just too much to enter a tournament.
That is a bit of money.
I mean, the DOA community did not complain when it would cost them $30, $10 for the entry for the venue fee, $10 for the singles tournament, and $10 for the tag tournament. They could enter either if they want. But now this one, I'm looking to make a profit off it, so I'm adding an additional $5 to the $10 entry fee, and it's $10 just to play in the Tekken 5 tournament, which goes straight into the pot. Trophies will also be provided by me, but I really don't see the deal, what the issue is. I mean,
I guess Tekken players are just cheap.
I guess so. I mean, they were complaining and whining about, tournament entry fee should just be $5, blah, blah, blah. I mean, come on. It's a tournament. I'm trying to run a business. I'm trying to start a small business, and, you know, earn a little money for GVN here.
We make no money. This is true.
Yes. I mean, yeah, can't you see our sponsors just, you know, hovering around our website?
We've got Google, and that's pretty much it.
Google. anyway, you know, it's a... I'm just really looking forward, hoping that this one, and afterwards, I'm looking to host a couple more tournaments. In May, I'm looking to host a Soul Calibur 3 tournament. I hear that community is actually quite alive and active. And then after that, maybe an all 2D fighters, like, fighting game bonanza.
Now, when it's like, released, are you going to do a Brawl tournament?
Smash Brothers Brawl?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. People like to play the game, but I don't know if they really take the game that seriously. It's more of like one of those, you know, hey, let's gather and play and have fun.
I don't know, man. Did you know that Super Smash Bros. Melee is now an official game at the Evolution Fighting Tournament?
Yeah, I did hear about that. However, I'm also shocked to hear that they're dropping Dead or Alive 4 from the Evolution Tournament as well.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me. So, this whole tournament thing is kind of, you know, sketchy to me. Like, I mean, I had to, like, go around and, like, you know, find, like, standard rules for every game so far, and it drove me nuts. And it seems to all go back to Evo.
I don't know, man. I've seen those games in forums, and those people are nuts.
Oh, geez. I actually got to meet a couple of the members from there at the NEC tournament, which was happening in the end of November of last year, or beginning of December of last year. Right. And there's, you know, Justin, or I think his name is Justin Wong.
Oh, yeah.
He is like what, he decided to play Dead or Alive 4, and he was pretty good at this. But I got to see him play Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, which is his, you know, his realm, and I was just like, wow.
It's like a different game.
I know, it's like, you know, I've played on the Dreamcast, I played the heck out of it on the Dreamcast, tried getting into it on the Xbox, and then took it back because I hated the controller. No, it's not. But then I watched them play it with the arcade sticks, I'm like, how many parries was that? He just dodged that entire super? What? No way. Anyway, yeah, you know, shock of awe and you know, all that other wonderful stuff. All right, Carl, let's dive into some gaming news today. You heard about the PS3 in Europe?
What about it?
Well, looks like Sony is going to scrap their hardware compatibility. For some reason, they're trying to save money, and they're removing... They haven't announced it yet, or they have, but they are going to remove the chips that allow for hardware-based backwards compatibility. They're practically going to go the same route as the 360, where you have to input the game into the system, and then you download, like, a patch.
That's kind of crappy.
It is pretty crappy, because right now they're trying to save money, even though the system isn't selling that well. It's selling faster than the 360 in Japan, but... It's just not apparently selling fast enough for Sony, so they're now, you know, looking for ways, you know, to somehow save on the PS3 production. So they're going to start with Europe, and I guess they're going to see how it works there.
Now, if I remember correctly, the case is that they just stuck an emotion chip in every PS3, and so that's how they're replicating the PS2 backwards compatibility.
That's apparently what I thought I heard.
Yeah, but the thing was, weren't there like a whole bunch of problems with that? Like, weren't the games looking like crap and, you know...
It was not so much looking like crap, but more along the lines of, you know, sound emulation issues and maybe some, like, blue screen, like, flashes and stuff like that. Nothing too minor, it's just, you know, like, maybe 10, 15 games, like, of the most popular ones that were just, you know, having sound emulation problems.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah, but who knows, maybe Sony might, you know, save a few bucks doing that. And moving on, hey, look at Indiana. They're trying to reconsider their gaming bill. I mean, I believe they had it shot down last year, or they shot it down last year. You remember that?
Now, remind me about what this actually was again.
Let's see. Indiana is looking to their legislators about a bill that would restrict and ban the game sales of games rated M or AO to minors.
Okay.
Basically, I believe that was shot down last year or something like that because of, free speech or whatever it was they used as an excuse, the game industry used,
really
freedom
not,
of expression.
I don't see that as a big deal. I mean,
I don't see that as a big deal either. I mean, I do know some video game stores that do get away with selling, like, okay, Grand Theft Auto 2 was sold for the PlayStation. A friend of mine, he didn't turn 18 for like another couple days, and the guy at the EB at this GameStop, used to be a Funko Land, just gave it to him.
Yeah. You know, I mean
I don't.
I think that there definitely is, like, you shouldn't be playing, you know, God of War or Devil May Cry if you're like 8 years old. But
definitely. Well, I mean, you should definitely maybe reconsider it. I mean, some of the places like the California game law or the Arizona game law that have been getting shot down left and right for, like, banning, you know, teen-rated arcade games from minors to be played or whatever, or getting shot down, I thought was ridiculous. But I have no problem with, you know, banning the sales of M or AO games from kids, even though, you know, game stores shouldn't be doing that to begin with. I mean, sure, they want to make a quick buck, but, you know, have some standards.
Right.
Okay, and let's take a look here. Ooh, did you hear? Neo Geo games are coming to the Wii.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I never saw this one coming, actually, but, you know, if they can emulate Neo Geo and MS... Oh, there's also MSX games. You know what the MSX is, right?
Yeah, it was a Microsoft-funded console that was out in Japan. It was the original console for series like Dragon Quest, Metal Gear Solid, Shin Megami Tensei, and many others.
Yeah, there's your little history lesson, people. In fact, it also... I believe it had the first console release version of Snatchers, which is one of my favorite all-time games ever.
Yeah,
and I'm still waiting for the sequel because, you know, that ending was just so, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, people say that there is a pseudo-sequel out called Police Knots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there is. But and that actually, funny you mention it, it just got a complete fan translation.
Yeah, I heard about that. Now I'm just wondering how in the world am I going to play it? Like, how did these did you hear how the fans translated this?
No.
Is it like you... Because I know for the Sega Saturn, if you have a cartridge, you can actually... Like, I have the one where it has, like, a port on the top of the cartridge where you can plug it into the serial port on your PC and you can, like, upload, like, Game Shark codes or something like that. And it not only has a 4-megabyte RAM pack, which is needed for games such as Capcom... Or Marvel, or Street Fighter versus Capcom, and stuff like that. But it also lets you play Japanese games. So I don't know if they have, like, a patch that is uploaded into that, and then you just... I mean, that would make sense. I mean, heck, I would love to play Lunar for the Saturn, which I think is the superior version of the PlayStation ones.
Right.
And, you know, if they could do a patch like that, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I think I'll have to research that some more. I mean, I can't, that was, like, a last-second thing I just didn't mention.
Right.
All right, and,
But yeah, Neo Geo stuff on the VC, you know, I'm wondering how long it's going to take before their, you know, their big guns like Samurai Showdown, King of Fighters, etc. are going to show up.
Oh, that would be so sweet, you know. So, well, all of a sudden, hey, look at this, hey, let's pop King of Fighters 95 onto the Wii, like, sweet. Maybe they can, like, you know, tweak a little bit to have online play.
Don't count on it.
I know. Yes. It's a dream. I'm still waiting for them to make some of their games online enabled, but it's just not going to happen.
It's really not.
Okay, and speaking of the Wii, Carl, have you played Sonic and the Secret Rings yet? And your impressions, my friend?
No. I know I have not.
You haven't played it?
And because, I have not played it because it's a Sonic game, and this one is actually, it's supposed to be a little bit better. And I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt that it is better,
mm-hmm.
but that does not mean that I'm willing to spend $50 on it. I'm going to save my money for next week's release of SSX Blur, because that looks awesome.
Yeah. Now, from what I hear in Sonic Wii, a friend of mine talking to me about how he read something from IGN like a month or two ago about like a more complete like demo version of, like, a near-final version of Sonic, and they were talking about how it's probably the best Sonic game ever, because it controls much better, there's, like, no camera issues. But then again, you know, I just read their review, and they give it an overall...
6.9.
Yes, a 6.9. And they actually still have camera issues and control issues, mainly because of the sensitivity of, you know, turning.
Right.
But they say you kind of get over that after a while, because, you know... You get adjusted to that, but I'm surprised that the game isn't as good as they say it is. I mean, I'm just shocked that, you know, Sega just doesn't want to seem to put effort into really making a good Sonic game anymore, unless it's one for the handhelds.
Well, you know,
are you shocked?
Even with Sonic Rush, Sonic Team didn't make it.
Yeah, Sonic Team, yeah, the ones with the game for the handhelds was not made by Sega, including the ports. It was, yeah, Dimps, and I'm looking to hope that, you know, Sonic Team is finally taken down and broken up, and Dimps is in charge of the entire thing, because I'm waiting for let's put it this way, the best 3D Sonic game is that 3D Sonic arena in Sonic Gems
right.
for the Saturn.
Well, I mean, there are different teams within Sega, many of which share the Sonic Team name. There is Sonic Team America, which are the ones that made Shadow the Hedgehog, I think the Sonic Riders.
Yeah, they're probably the same team that was partially responsible for Traveler's Tales copy of Sonic 3D Blast.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But, you know, like, they were the ones who dev'd Sonic the Hedgehog on the PS3 and 360. While Sonic Team Japan, Yuji Naka's old team, are the ones who made Secret Rings.
Yeah, Naka's. Well, Naka's not with Sega anymore.
Right, Naka's old team, like the guys that he left. That he left there. I guess he didn't go to what's the name of it? Probe, I think is the name of his new studio.
Probe.
Probe.
Or Prop.
Probe, like Probe and Prop together. Probe.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I just, you know, I respect Yuji Naka, but just lately his games have just been so blah because he's just trying too much to, like, you know, do the flash factor of, like, hey, look how fast Sonic can go, and we only give you, like, two paths in the game. Like, come on. Just Sonic's just going downhill, and, well, actually, he's at rock bottom right now.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I think that with Secret Rings, I think it's a step up, and I think that if they decide to make a follow-up, it could definitely be a good game. The thing is, even when Sonic is at its best, I mean, I have Sonic Rush. I'm actually holding it right now because I'm right next to my little mini library here. And I'm not a big fan of Sonic Rush. I bought it the day I got my DS, and it's a good game. I can respect it for what it is, but I prefer Mario. I don't like going that fast. I like to, you know, take my time with my platforming.
And it's amazing because, you know, they tooted how fast Sonic the Hedgehog games were back on the Genesis.
Right.
But it's, in essence, they weren't really that fast unless you were on, like, you know, a certain part of the stage. The game was 90% platforming, and then the speed was just how fast you can get through the stage.
Basically.
There was more jumping involved, more enemy dodging, whereas in Sonic Rush or the later 3D titles, minus, you know, the first Sonic Adventure, it was all about how fast you can grind a rail just to get through a stage and do stupid little tricks on the rail or jumping off and maybe bouncing on an enemy that is just, you know, properly placed and has absolutely no way of trying to kill you just so you can move on to the next section of the stage. And then accidentally, oop, camera glitch, you fall down and die.
Basically.
It's annoying. I actually liked Sonic Adventure 1. And I have to say that the other Sonic game should have been more like that or expanded on that instead of, you know, just being, you know, more speed-oriented. Because what I liked about the first Sonic Adventure was it was very, you know, open, like, worldly, kind of like almost like Mario 64. And I think they should have expanded on that. That would have made for some really awesome gameplay if they made, like, an entire world that Sonic had to, like, you know, bounce off buildings and stuff like that. Instead of, you know, interstellar highways in space grinding rails, it just makes no sense, and it would probably be a lot more fun and interesting if you ask me.
I agree.
No fear, that's a very good drink. Try it out sometime, kids. In fact, I was just at the No Fear sponsored concert on Wednesday.
Oh yeah,
it was quite fun. It was Killswitch Engage with Chimera, He Is Legend, and Dragon Force opening for Killswitch.
Cool.
Very good concert indeed. I had a lot of fun. Joe, you guys should check it out because the tour just started. Anyway, a little side note right there. I love music, so, and I love music and games.
Cool.
Even better. So let's see here. What else can I talk about today? I mean, I just felt so ill-prepared coming into today's podcast.
You know, we're doing a little impromptu, off-the-cuff kind of a show. But I remember
absolutely
I mentioned to you before we started recording about the PS3 demo kiosk thing.
Oh yes, you absolutely. Now I was very shocked to hear about this. Actually, you go ahead and explain it.
Okay, I read this off of the Gaming Age forums, they're pretty credible when it comes to this kind of stuff. Basically, the PS3s that are in demo kiosks, you see the actual PS3 console. And the thing is, the game that you're playing isn't actually being run off of that console. It's being run off of a development kit below it, which is basically a incredibly bloated PS3 with extra fans and a higher-grade processor so that it's able to play the game a lot more smoothly, and you know you won't experience like overheating or anything like that. So basically, the PS3 that you're seeing is a dummy console.
Mm-hmm. I just find it hilarious because even when I played Resistance on the kiosks up at GameStop, I was just like, wow, this game still looks like crap. And, well, I will have to say this. I like the PS3 controller a little bit, you know? I was playing Virtual Fighter 5. Beautiful game. Very nice. I love it. The D-pad, they fixed it. They finally fixed it. It feels gritty. It feels, like, maneuverable. I was able to pull off moves that I have issues pulling off on the PS2 version of Virtual Fighter 4 Evo. But I'm doing them just so easily now on Virtual Fighter 5. It's amazing how they just finally fixed that one little thing that I had issues with about the PS controller.
My real issue with the PS3 controller is that it doesn't have enough weight to it.
I was actually delighted in seeing how light it was, considering it was wireless. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, man.
I like my controllers to have a little more weight to it. Like, I like a 360 controller because it feels like you're holding a controller. It feels like you've got some... And with the force feedback, it feels like it's more a little more immersive to me, whereas, you know, even with the nunchuck attachment on the Wii controller, like, there's no weight to it, so I feel like it feels cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Anyway, are there any new games coming out that you're looking for besides what's coming out... besides SSX.
Well, like I said, that's coming out next week, and I am looking forward to it very much because it's an original Wii game by EA, and I think it's going to be great. So I'm going to support them, and hopefully, you know, it'll be good. let's see, what is coming out soon? Well, there's something coming out on DS soon that's slipping my mind currently, but what is the name of that game? You know what? So, why don't I just go ahead and. Check it out here for you. I've got a little release date thing here, so let me just go ahead and pull it up.
I'll just mention a couple of things I like. For the Xbox Live Arcade, they're going to re-release Wing Commander and Tetris.
Are they
two
not?
Things? Yeah, Tetris is going to be. I mean, this is like a no-brainer. Like, why they didn't think about Tetris to begin with? I mean, the world's most popular game that they can sell for maybe $5 and get like maybe $500 million, like right there for downloads. I mean, mm-hmm. The game is just that popular.
Right.
Like, it's been on every console in every iteration. I mean, how well did it sell in the DS? Do you know?
Tetris DS, it sold well. It sold all right. I mean,
it sold well, and it had online play, I believe, which was the big thing that was driving the game, right?
Right.
So I don't see why they shouldn't, you know, make a good profit in selling the game on Xbox Live Arcade. And Wing Commander for the Xbox Live Arcade is something I've always had a guilty pleasure for, because I'm a big fan of them, you know, space shooter type games. Mm-hmm. I used to play Wing Commander back in the day on, you know, the Amiga.
Right.
For those of you who don't know what the Amiga is, it is this very old computer that was very popular in Europe, not so popular in America, and in fact, you know, little known fact, Babylon 5, you know, the TV show, the first few seasons of that was actually developed on an Amiga, which is interesting, and some of your very popular games for the Genesis and Super Nintendo were developed on an Amiga as well, you know, Street Fighter, Shadow of the Beast, you know, a bunch of really awesome games, The Killing Game Show, mainly most of the games made by, like, say, Bitmap Brothers were pretty awesome that were made there, Chaos Engine, stuff like that. But Wing Commander was a fun game. I used to play that on the Amiga. Then it was on the PC with Wing Commander 3 when it went to 3D and full 3D, like with polygons and all that stuff. And I'm really looking forward, you know, for a little blast of the past with that, considering my PC's a bit too powerful to run the game.
Well, you know.
So have you met?
Yeah, I found a couple things. You know, Ocarina of Time is coming to Virtual Console on Monday.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I already got the game twice.
Yeah, I have it on GameCube, so I'm probably not going to get there. But there is some other Wii stuff coming out soon that I am kind of interested in, like Kororinpa Marble Mania.
What?
It's this little game from Hudson. Basically, it's like Super Monkey Ball, but with a marble.
So it's Marble Extreme, which is kind of like what's on the Xbox Live Arcade, too.
Sort of.
So, interesting.
Yeah. And it looks really cool. Another game that's coming out soon is Wing Island, but that's a really crappy game. So I wouldn't recommend
it. Oh, really? Crap.
Oh, yeah.
Then why'd you mention that? Yeah, now people are going to be like, what kind of game is so crappy that it wouldn't get mentioned on GVN?
Exactly. Soon on the DS, Custom Robo is going to be out.
I heard it got good reviews from, what's that magazine in Japan? I forget it already. It got all eights. Well, you know what? I forget the name of the magazine, but you got like straight eights, and it was very favorable to these people in Japan.
Oh, you're talking about Custom Robo on the GameCube?
On the DS.
On the DS? Oh, Famitsu.
Yeah, Famitsu magazine.
Yeah.
The only magazine that's released like every 2 weeks. That's one busy video game magazine, if you tell me.
Oh, yeah.
But it got straight eights, and they seemed to like it. And I guess I'm looking forward to it a little bit, because I was a little bit disappointed with the GameCube version.
Well, it was basically a replastering of the N64 version, so, yeah.
Yeah. It was just, you know, a prettier version with some very, very annoying character voices.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But,
anyway.
You know, we're coming up here, so.
We're coming up at almost 25 minutes, and we've got 5 minutes to BS. So,
BS. What have you been playing recently?
What have I been playing recently? I have been playing Dead or Alive like crazy. I'm obsessed with the game. I have also been playing a little bit of.
You mentioned DOA, and something I've been meaning to ask you, because I know you are very much a fan of DOA. You consider
it a
very, very good franchise. Now, I was watching the 1UP show the other day.
All right.
And they had some of the dudes on from virtualfighter.com.
Oh, man.
And they were talking smack about DOA.
I have to bring this up. There was this kid at the tournament. It would have been 23 people at the singles tournament, but there was 24 because there was this Tekken fanboy that showed up and was talking smack about how he can beat the game or beat the expert players at DOA by button mashing. Well, a bet was made. And, in fact, I have video and pictures of this uploaded at DOAcenter.com. The bet was that he would get $10 for every DOA player he beat in the double elimination tournament. If he lost, he would have Tekken sucks written on his forehead in Sharpie marker. End result, he was eliminated right away, and he had Tekken sucks written on his face all over the place.
Nice.
So, yeah. Okay, go ahead and talk smack. I love Virtual Fighter. It's a very technical, very precise game, but I seriously don't think you should be talking smack about a game that's really more arcade-oriented and fun, and can also have a very positive competitive edge to it, whereas Virtual Fighter, you see these people who are very competitive. They get pissed at the drop of a pin needle because they made an inaccuracy, because when you make a mistake in Virtual Fighter, you can get punished. I mean, you will be destroyed. I was just playing Virtual Fighter 5 last night. My buddy, he made a small little critical error, and right there, I'm playing with Jeffrey, I managed to pull off a four-hit air juggle with him, and I diminished more than half his life with that.
Well, anyway, so yeah, they had KT Tall Guy and S Rider from virtualfighter.com.
Yeah.
And they were talking about this one of the other guys on the 1UP show, Shane, is challenging another guy, Milky, to a Virtual Fighter tournament. And you know, to kind of cut him down, they're like, "Yeah, whatever, man. They're telling him he's not skilled enough to play Virtual Fighter, that he should go ahead and play some of the lower tier fighters like Mortal Kombat and DOA."
Mortal Kombat, I think, is like a crappy low-tier game. And Mortal Kombat, to me, has not been a viable fighting game since Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Absolutely. But Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 is a great game. No lie.
Like, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 is a decent game. In fact, I finally got all my achievements last night. I was up till 3 in the morning because Shao Kahn is probably the cheapest boss in the game. There's only one way to beat him, and that's uppercuts. But the fact of the matter is he will constantly shoulder rush you if his life is within a quarter inch of defeat.
Basically.
Which is annoying. It is annoying. But Dead or Alive, I would have to say, is not a top tier, like, you know, competitive fighting game, but like, you know, Virtual Fighter and Tekken and Soul Calibur and the Capcom SNK 2, MVC S 2 games or whatever.
Right.
I would have to say it's like a tier below it, you know, right there with, you know, Guilty Gear and, well, Guilty Gear has a pretty big community, I would have to say, as well. So, DOA has a community, but we're trying to, like, you know, band together. It's pretty hard, you know, when your game has been underground and bashed because of boobs, you know, for so long, right?
Right. Well, yeah, but basically.
Pretty much, so, but yeah, I would say it's a tier below, and we're just currently a community that's, you know, that's trying to like, you know, pull together.
Right. As for what I have been playing lately, I have been playing some virtual console stuff, some Gunstar Heroes.
Gunstar Heroes, yes. Gunstar Heroes for the win.
Absolutely, great game. Also, some Mario Kart 64. Not as good as the DS iteration, but still good.
I know, definitely. I was on vacation visiting my sister, and we were playing Mario Kart, and I was having issues trying to play it because I was trying to play it like it was the DS.
You can't, though, because the,
you can't.
You cannot play because playing with an analog stick and playing with the D-pad on the DS, totally different.
Totally different. You can't slide as well too.
Oh no, it's super sensitive. So if you can't hold, like with the D-pad, you can basically when you're making a turn, you can basically hold left down.
By the way, Carl, I own yet Mario Kart DS.
I believe we're tied, so I wouldn't bring that kind of
I'm only.
I believe that we are tied. So yeah, dude, I don't think you can claim victory on anything.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we're about to end the show here. I want to thank you guys again for tolerating another wonderful episode of Gaming Vision Network podcast. I'm Robert Hubbs, and...
I am Carl Castaneda. Be safe, and keep playing those games, people.
All right. Signing off. Later.
Later.